The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Barrington Awaken. Nice day, beautiful day. It's a bit rainy, and we've been having a lot of rain up here in the last few days, but it is what it is. And of course, we're shifting back into our colder season. We're in officially fall season now. And for people who are in Canada, they know what that means. Get ready. It's coming. The cold. Anyway, again, it is what it is. Bundle up. Dress warm. Today, we want to talk about sticks and stones. Sticks and stones, and we've all heard that. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt. Now, that's a load of crap. So before we get into that, sticks and stones will break your bones, we'll talk about other things today. There's a story I've heard many years ago, and I have told it on this show before, of a man in this country that captures monkeys. And what he does is he gets a pot or an urn, and he puts fruit, chops up fruits, and put it in the pot with a small opening, I guess the bottleneck, and bury it in the ground so only the neck is exposed. And when the fruit starts to rot or fermentate, the smell will attract the monkeys from the bush, and they will come out and they'll stick their paw into that small opening and grab some of that fruit, or mush, I would assume at this point, and try to pull it out. But because they've made a fist, their paws or hands will not come through that opening anymore, and they're fighting to get their hand out, and all they had to do was to open the hand, and the food would fall out, and they could pull their hands free. But they were so stubborn and determined to get their hands out with the food in it, they held on and kept pulling and pulling, and the hand is obviously stuck in this small bottle opening. And that man who had planted the urn would go over and put a bag on top of that monkey and captures it. And he, monkey, would lose his life or freedom because of what he held on to. So the monkey was holding on to something that obviously caused him his life or his freedom. I say all that. What are we holding on to that's keeping us captive or keeping us stuck or keeping us in one position? And in doing that, we're losing our freedom and possibly our lives. We become ill, or, you know, unable to perform the way we used to perform. What are we holding on to that's keeping us stuck while we lose and give up our freedom? And in saying all of that, you have to ask yourself that question. Who is the monkey? And that's one for you to think about. I'm not calling anybody any names at all. I'm simply just saying, are we holding on to something that's keeping us captive or stopping us from being free. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. What we talk about here is raising you to a higher level of consciousness, for you to be alert, for you to be awake. And we say very often on this show, wake up, open your eyes, you're fast asleep. A lot of things are being passed by us. And as we dream in La La Land, we miss out on life. Wake up and allow yourself to elevate to the higher, to a higher level of consciousness for your own sake, your own happiness, for you to understand that you are the greatest entity. You are the most important person. Your life matters, and you don't want to exit this life, exit the body, and wondered what you did with all the time that you had the body when you move on, and we will move on. It's inevitable. Therefore, while we are consciously alert, we try to live at the highest level possible, the highest level of consciousness, and to be alert as to who we are so we could live our lives, our best life, without fear, without restrictions, without worrying that we may not get from life what we were supposed to, or finding our purpose. The route towards finding out who you are and the possibility of knowing thyself is for you to wake up. Wake up. Realize that you are the top shelf. You are the most important being. Do not cash in your most valuable currency, which is life, which is you, which is the time that's been allotted to you, and work on getting to understand where you're supposed to be in life and how you can capitalize on living the best self. Be mindful that the rearview mirror is a lot smaller than the windshield in your vehicle for the same purpose, that what's behind you is not as important as what's in front of you. So you focus on the bigger picture and allow yourself to become the greatest you. Wake up. Know thyself. Understand your ability, knowing that you've got all the tools that are required to get you to where you want to be. No matter the situation that you may be in now, the thoughts you may have had yesterday or the days before that are the reality of what you live in today. What you hope to accomplish and what your desires will lead you to should be the thought that you ponder most today. Wake up, allow yourself to acknowledge that there is a better self out there, a greater life out there, a bigger piece of the pie for you to take. You are not lesser than anyone, nor is anybody greater than you. Please understand that we've all been created the same way by the very same method, and our purpose in which we've come to this planet to have a life may be different, but the method is all the same. You may have a message to deliver to everyone. Please wake up and deliver that message. You may have something to show us. Wake up and show it to us. You are cheating me by not living your potential should you have something that could benefit mankind. Wake up is what we talk about, and realize that the God that exists is you. A lot of people don't like me saying that because they'll always resort to there is something greater and higher and bigger than we are. Yes, that is yourself at a higher level of consciousness. Yes, you are your own creator. Yes, you have come here to fulfill a purpose, even if it's only to experience what it is, what it's like to live the human life inside of a body. The spiritual sense, the spiritual part of you dwells within the body. Saying all of that simply to say you are not the body. The body is just your vehicle. I am speaking to the spiritual part of you that will connect with all that there is, for you to understand that we are all connected to the same source and we're all a part of this great wave. Wake up and realize your strength, your ability, the ability to create all that you desire in life. We are connected to it, every single one of us. There's only one family that exists, and it's called the human family, and we're all a part of it. Regardless of what part of the ocean you may live in, yes, you're still a fish, and you still need all everything that is a part of that ocean for your existence, be it in the warmer parts or the colder parts or the lukewarm parts, wherever it may be, we're still connected to it, the spiritual aspect of our existence, much as all the creatures that live in the ocean is connected to the water. Wake up and realize that you are a lot greater than you were told, and you should know that you are limitless. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you for being a part of it. Today, we want to talk about the things that we may have encountered in life, or the examples that we may have, the lessons that we may have given to somebody without knowing, without consciously being aware of it, or mindful of the existence. You may be doing you as you are. Just live your life as you normally do. And in some way, somehow, you have an impact on somebody. You have to be mindful of that. We're going to talk about sticks and stones will break your bones. Words will never hurt you. And that's a load of crap. If I'm allowed to say that, that is definitely not the truth, because your words are just the only things that could leave the most damage and scar to your life, the remainder of your life. As we say that, we say, wake up and thank you for coming here. I want to thank all the longtime listeners and people from all around the world who has tuned in tonight, today, to hear this show. Thank you for being a part of it. I'm loving all the response I get from you in the emails that you send out, and I do try my best to get to them. I will, definitely, but not always the same day. Be patient. It is an answer, a reply will come to you. To all the longtime listeners, the new listeners, and everybody who just loves spirituality, if you can hear me, you are connected. If you can hear me, you've searched and we found a way for you to tap into your ultimate, superior, superb self. You are not greater than anyone, nor is anyone greater than you. We're all equal, and we must be willing to extend our arm to greet your fellow man. In saying that, please do not try to look down on anyone. You're wasting your time. But if you need to look down on anybody, make sure it's with the intent to help them up if they're asking for help. Be mindful of all of that. Thank you for coming to the show. Thanks, everyone, and welcome home. I keep talking about sticks and stones, and sticks and stones will break your bones, and the words won't hurt or never hurt. And we've all heard that, I think. And if you haven't, surprise, but it does exist. I say that I was able to reunite with an old friend of mine after 27 years of absolutely no contact whatsoever. I got a phone call out of the blue, and there's that friend who had made some phone calls and made a couple of things and made contact with me. And I was so excited. I went to visit him and spent the day, part of the day, late afternoon, just getting caught up on what life was all about. So I was 26 years old, and this little boy was 9 years old. He was my friend's son, who lived with his grandparents, and I lived in the city, they lived in the country, and I thought at the time, it just seems very awkward that this nine-year-old boy is hanging out with his older grandparents. And I asked if it was okay that I take him to come and live with me on the weekends. And he loved the idea. I'd pick him up on my motorcycle and I'd bring him home into the city where we did all the amazing things for him. And for me, it was hanging out. We went to the amusement park. We went to the beach. We went to the movies. We walked up and down the street. We talked. I taught him how to ride his bicycle. And it was a fun time. For me, had company to do all these things. I was living in this country and I was working there, and we were just being buddies to each other. And 27 years later, I get a phone call from him. And for the first time in 27 years, I was able to hear how this impacted his life through his own, from his own, the horse's mouth, or his own words or his eyes, however that played out. And the story went as he was amazed as how I was able to influence his life without words, just actions, or maybe words. We talked a lot, but we hung out and he was telling me how it had impacted his entire life as to things I would have said maybe unconsciously, subconsciously, and the activities we did. And it was an amazing day. I don't have enough time on this show to go through telling everything that he's now 34 years old, this 9-year-old boy at the time remembered almost word for word everything that happened in his life when I was hanging out with him, or he would come and spend the weekend with me. I had to work, so I only saw him on the weekends, and we did everything. And I don't have enough time in the show to tell it all. The point being is that the impact of the words that were used for him, or the actions that we took, put him in a positive direction. And he reminded me that yesterday when we talked and told me how amazing it was for him and how the impact. And I figured, well, if I were doing something horrible and bad and negative to him, I suppose it would have the very same opposite impact on his life. But he was definitely paying attention, and he was remarkable in remembering at 9 everything that happened to him. So for that, he's listening to the show today. Thank you very much. I appreciated it. Once my head came back to a normal setting, I really had to give a lot of thought to what you had said and how this part of your life was impacted by somebody just extending an arm of a kindness to somebody. And now you're a married man, you've got your kids, and everything is working out great for you. Awesome. I'm glad I was able to help. And saying all that, I was in a club one night, the same thing happened, and somebody came up and gave me a hug. And when this person explained who they were, I realized, I said, oh my God, it's been years. And I hugged back, and that person whispered in my ear, you told me that I'm not going to soar like an eagle if I'm flocking with the turkeys, because the people she was hanging out with, in my opinion, were very negative influences on her. And good for her, she had gone back to school and made a great success. I think she's a doctor now or something like that. So all of this, going back to saying, be mindful of what you're saying to people and the words that you're using or the action, and see within yourself how are you the impact that you will be given to that people, person who's observing, listening, and paying attention. And it's not always the words you use that makes the biggest impact. It's the action. So if you are going to be remembered, how do you want to be remembered? If you are going to have an impact in a person's life, how do you want them to tell the story? We're not out there looking for good deeds to do. We're doing what we do. If you have a spiritual mind, you will obviously be an innocuous person and generally be kind to everybody you meet. It's a good step. And I say this a lot too. If you are behind that older person, people in the line anywhere, be mindful that's you some years to come. That's you waiting to happen. Therefore, this very moment in your life, you get to choose how you will be treated when you become that person. So be mindful of what you're putting out there. Be mindful of how and a story that you want to be told about you by the action. I say this a lot. If it's not true, do not say it. If it's not yours, do not take it. And if it's wrong and you're doing it, stop doing it. In all of this, reminding you, let's wake up and be kind to ourselves as well as everybody we meet. You may think your portion, your section, your life is fantastic, but do remember that you're living in this world, that you might be the cause of impacting it in a negative way. You are a part of it too. If you're in the room and somebody was to break wind, it would affect you. And yes, you are a part of this world. How can you improve it? What can you do to make it a better place? Change who you are and change what you put in. Wake up. This is what we talk about. Have we got any emails there?
We do have some emails. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. You can write to us right now with a comment, a question, just to say hello. Let us know where you're writing from, where you're listening from. And our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Katie did that. And she says, Barrington, you are right. I listen to you a lot. I still cannot get around that we are our own God. That's from Katie. Okay, thank you, Katie. Todd says, the monkey story was amazing. I love that. That's from Todd. Thank you, Todd. Mitch wrote in. He said, happy fall, Burr. It is getting cold here in Canada. That's from Mitch. Thanks for the weather report, Mitch. And let's see. Corey wrote in and said, what a wonderful story about the long-lost friend that you haven't seen in over 20 years. That's amazing, and that's what friendship really is about. And back to you, Barrington.
Yes, thank you very much, everybody. Yeah, Corey, it's been a long time. And it's interesting because over the years, I've always wondered what happened to this 9-year-old boy who's now 34, so he's a grown man, and he's got his own thing. And I, like I said, I wasn't looking for a trophy or a reward or even a praise. I was doing me, and I realized this young kid had an opportunity to step away from the environment that he was raised in and had a different view, perspective on life. And I was able to do that. And thank you very much. I think it's a wonderful story. I definitely will be adding that story in the book as I write. So yeah, this happens a lot to people. And just generally go out there and be a good person because it will pay off. And if you are an SOB, that's going to pay you accordingly. Just saying all that. So yeah, it's been 27 years since I've had any contact at all with this guy. And of course, it's hard for me now to stand in front of him who's a lot taller than me and bigger than me and drinking a beer. And I'm like, yeah, but you're a kid, you're very little. But I have to come to terms that everything changes, including time and years. And he's now a grown man. And he's older than I was at the time. And he's just a wonderful human being. And I wish everybody can tell a story. We'll be able to tell a story like that. So thanks a lot, Corey, for that. Mitch, it is fall. It is getting chilly. And my gosh, did it happen fast. It's literally within a week, I start putting on a sweater and a hoodie. And I was in the market yesterday and I wanted to go buy a toque to put on because it was getting that cold that fast. But I didn't because they're expensive and I have more than I'll ever need. But yeah, it is getting cold. It's getting fast. And it is fall season now. I think we're about a weekend or so, somewhere near there. And from here, it's going to get a lot colder, but we're prepared. We've been here before. This whole cold thing has been going on as a nation for 155 years as a nation. And we've learned how to adapt and deal with it. Not happy, but we accept it because it is what it is. Thank you for that, Mitch. Todd, the monkey story. Yes, it does make sense. And I say this, and I have said it on the show before, simply because we get caught up in what we do. I was having a conversation earlier about we're so trained to keep the pace that we've been keeping our entire lives. And when we get to a point where we can't do that anymore, that lumberjack cannot chop down 1,000 trees a day anymore because the axe is worn down and he's definitely tired and the muscles are also worn down. And we don't realize it because we're so trained into doing what we're doing that we just work harder, run faster, and eventually we run out of time and we fall over. Ending or going home or exiting the body is inevitable. It will happen to every living human being. At least at this point, it's been proven that no one has gotten out of this without exiting their body. So the monkey story talks about the ability to measure whether or not what you're fighting for, what you're holding on to, is it really worth your life? And that's the question that we're trying to get you to sit still, relax, contemplate. Is the ideas or the items that you're holding on to, is that juice worth the squeeze? Is the currency you're spending worth the return that you're purchasing or trying to purchase and hold on to? And be mindful that whatever it is that you accumulate, it is on borrowed time. Inevitably, you have to give it back or let it go because it's going to go to the next person. There was a story I told about the king who's four wives, and he was concerned that somebody was going to get his wealth, his pretty girl, after he passed away. And it is truth. And that was considered what you've accumulated in your entire life, what you're going for, the goal that you're seeking. Is it worth your life? Will you lay down your life to get that exchange? Is it worth it? Because the minute you lay down your life, it's done. And the purpose or the idea or the materialistic thing that you were trying so desperately to hold on to does not belong to you anymore. And when we return to where we're going to go, it has to stay here. We cannot bring the Brinks with us to the next life. If you believe there's somewhere else, you can't bring it with you. Is it really worth it? Now, a lot of people will answer very fast and say, no, it's not worth it, or yes, it is worth it. But you have to know the only thing that is consistent in your life is the passing of time. That is very consistent, and enough time will pass where that does not matter anymore. I've always wondered when I speak to those high-end achievers who are laying in their deathbed knowing that this in the end, are they still high-fiving their friends and want to go out for a drink after to celebrate their accomplishment? Are they most often saying, boy, if I had a do-over, I would have done it differently? The question that you must ask yourself at every step of the way, is this juice worth the squeeze? Is the thing that I'm fighting so desperately to have, is it worth the currency I'm spending to get it? Because that's the life and the time allotted. Let's assume it was age 25 to 75. I'm just making up those numbers, or 85. Is that time that you invest into getting that item that you're looking for, is it worth the investment? I don't know that anybody would spend $100 to buy a raffle ticket when the grand prize is $50. I hope not. Seriously, I hope not. If you're buying a lottery ticket to win a prize or something, let's hope the ticket you're purchasing is lesser amount than the prize that you will win. If it's backwards, you're doing something seriously wrong. You're spending that $100 to win a prize that's worth $5. It's not charity, it's life. And you can say, yeah, I would do it because it would benefit those others, maybe, if in fact it is a charity. But if it isn't a charity, your method of doing this, buying a $100 ticket to win $5, there's something wrong. They say a lot about people who cheat in their intimate relationships, are saying that they're trading 95% for five. That never made any sense to me. You are giving up 95% of your life for the 5% that feels great. Fine. But is that trade worth it? Is that juice worth the squeeze? Is the currency you're spending, which is your life, to accomplish something that you hope to have that you can't take with you, is it worth it? There will be a time in your life where if you're not willing to spend an hour on yourself, to take care of yourself, to take care of your body, I assure you, there'll be a time down the road where you have to spend 3 hours just to exist or to survive. If you're not willing to invest that 1 hour now, you will have to invest 3 hours later, where it's do be, it's the end of the rope. So my theory is to spend that hour now, take care of number one, and make sure the items that you're holding on to or trying to hold on to is worth the outcome. Let it go. Don't be the Homer Simpson who wants to cut his arm off because he's holding a can of pop. It's an episode I saw. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But make sure that the juice is worth the squeeze so you're not wasting your time or you're spending too much valuable currency to accomplish something that will not serve you. And to think you're doing it for the children, that cannot work, because how did the first person start doing it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? That was the story about the monkey. And thank you, Todd, for that one. I'm sorry I went a little bit deep in understanding that, explaining it, but you have to answer the question for yourself. And I'm not suggesting that you give up, throw your hands in the air, and walk away from all that you're carrying, but you might want to take a good look at the load or the package or the basket and see that everything is in that basket is beneficial to you. Katie, you listen to the show a lot. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We love you here as much as you love our show. Thank you for being that. The concept of understanding or accepting the fact that we are our own gods. I know that's hard to do. That's hard to believe. I'm going to tap back into that story I was telling about that 9-year-old boy that I was hanging out. When I met him, he didn't know how to read, and we were trying hard on the weekends. He was with us to teach him how to read and read English and do all these things. And, you know, we're trying to help. You know, we want to be his teacher. And when he got to the point where he was just stepping out of getting into, you know, starting to understand how to get on his horse to accomplish this reading ability, I brought him home and I heard his grandmother, he was trying to read something to his grandmother, and I heard the grandmother said, he can't learn nothing. He is dumb. I told you he was dumb. He cannot learn anything. And I thought, oh my Lord, holy mackerel. So here she is convincing him that he can't do it. He can't accomplish it. Now, why am I bringing that up, bringing that into explaining to Katie the God concept? It's simply because when we hear something, and to this day, he has that challenge, by the way, to finish that story. He still has that challenge. He's reading, but he still has a challenge of thinking that he's limited or restricted is to his accomplishment. The reason I'm saying that is because we hear things. And we believe things. And if you believe it long enough, it becomes the truth for you. It becomes your truth. And for someone to tell you that your truth is wrong is hard for you to understand it. The only thing I will say to anybody, anywhere, anytime, is if this is what you believe and you're absolutely sure 100% that this is what you believe, go ahead and prove the existence to me. Now, I can tell you that once you get into your spiritual understanding, understand your spiritual self, understanding who you are, knowing who you are, you will understand that the greatest entity that exists, you're part of it. That means the God that resides on this universe is you. But you have to do the walk. You can't undo just by turning a switch what you have believed your entire life. That isn't saying it is truth. It is saying that you have made it your truth. Many people out there do not believe in the existence of God. Many people out there do not believe there's anything greater than who we are, which is a great start because we're the greatest. But many people also believe that their belief says their God lives on the mountains. And there's three of them. And there's one under the ground and one in the ocean. And one, oh, that's mythology. Oh, that idea has been lost from many generations ago, another dynasty probably. And now we're dealing with something else. They believed at that moment that the God did exist, but they lived on the mountains and we couldn't get up there to see them. And of course, now we know we can't climb the mountains unless we have the proper gear to do it, including a breathing apparatus because of the differences in the elevation. So today we're hearing people say they can't accept the fact that you are God. Okay. I can understand why you understand that. because you believed it in your entire life. Funny enough, I was having a conversation on the way home the other day with my youngest son, and he brought out the very same thing. And I said, well, think about you being 6 years old. Didn't you know for sure there was a Santa Claus? And now you're in your 20s. Obviously, you don't buy that story anymore because you've elevated, you've learned, you've put two and two together and realized that the story of Santa Claus cannot be true. It might be, but it's very unlikely. He's never come to my house when I was a kid. I'm not complaining. I'm not bitter. I'm not saying anything. I'm simply saying that you've elevated from that age 6 or 7 or 8 years old to understanding that this guy's flying around the entire world delivering presents on this one night. Even if you didn't believe in Santa Claus or that was your religion, a religious belief. My saying all that, Katie, is simply to say that we have been told stories our entire lives. And we believe them. And not only do we believe them, we act according to what the stories are. And some of us even go to war in believing we're defending that we don't know if it's the truth or not. Is there a God? Of course there is. Do I believe there is? Yes. That's me and you, Katie, and Todd and Mike and Corey and everybody else and Gary. And we're there. We're part of it. We're all a part of the existence that's here. For you to wrap it around your mind and you're of a certain age where you were told that there is a greater entity, a greater source out there somewhere else monitoring your every move. And one day you will meet. That's a tall order. And I don't see how that's possible. If you want to meet the God, please go look in the mirror. He's there waiting for you. Thank you very much for all of that. And I hope I'm not trying to convince you. I am trying to let you see that if you believe there is a God, there is one. But I'm telling you, that is within you. Every piece of what exists on this planet, in the universe, is within you. Every single part of it is within you. The creator is within you because you are that creator. And if you believe there's a God, I hope you think he is the creator. Bang! You believe me because he is you. The stories that we tell, before I go into that, I want to talk about Barrington Awaken. And thanks to everybody who's been sending us emails off the show. Repeating, and last week I made a boo-boo by stating that this show will be repeating on one day, but the mistake I made, I'm correcting it now. The show is repeated on Thursdays between 10 and 11. You could pick it up, same station, same talk, same guy, and you can catch the show should you miss this one or have a different schedule. awaken1308@gmail.com. That's how you could send us an email should you have a question, should you want a debate or anything about how you believe the things are truth. And I will say to everybody, what we say, what we talk about all the time, you can prove it for yourself. And you don't have to call me and cuss me out or give me an opinion in a negative sense. You could just go ahead and prove me wrong. Actually, I'd love for you to do that simply because in the process of trying to prove me wrong, you're educating yourself more and you will truly understand. How do you do this? You meditate, you study spirituality, you learn who you are, you learn to be a good person. And by doing all this, it'll bring you to understanding that the goodness that exists is within you. awaken1308@gmail.com. That's how you can respond to everything that we talk about here and say what you need to say. If you need to vent, by all means, bring it. Here am I, Barrington Awaken, is our webpage. You could check us out there. I haven't been there for a while. It's been a crazy couple of months for me, but you could go there. A lot of information. You could see it for yourself. If you missed any of the shows, you could catch, you could see them. They're all labeled there. Today's show is Sticks and Stones, and you will see it, and you could listen to it anytime you want to, or even pass them off to a good friend. If there's something from this you've picked up and it's helped you in any way at all, and you feel others could benefit from it, please do share. We each one should teach one, and this is what we're doing. Awaken Ascension Guide aligns you to your true purpose. It's a book out there by Barrington. Please check it out if you can. It's available to you. on Amazon. Still there. Read about it. It's a good guide. If you wanted a signed copy of that, let's email me and we could work something out. Therefore, it's available. Awaken Ascension Guide aligns you to your true purpose. And what we're aiming to do in this existence is finding out, why am I here? What is this all about? Is this an experiment? How come this? And you have all these questions that you want answers to, the questions that you want the answers to. And every question has an answer, because if there was no answer for the question, of course, you can imagine there would never have been a question. All the questions are within you. You need to figure out how to get into that source. And I don't want to go talk about the Akasha Library. I don't want to talk about the chakras. I don't want to talk about the rebirth. We've done all that in the past. As for where you are today and the guidance that you carry in your everyday life, you could go through life and understand that the answers that you seek is within you. Look internally, as opposed to how we were taught to look externally for something to come into your view, into your life. If it's behind you, let it go. I said it earlier, the rear view mirror is a lot smaller than the one that's in front of you, the windshield, and you focus on what's in front of you. Give yourself that time that is required to get you where you want to go. Thank you again for listening, and you're listening to Barrington and Barrington Awaken. Today we're talking about sticks and stones. I told that story about meeting people in life and just going through your everyday life. And you talk about how you can impact another person's life by just reaching out, extending your arm, and be willing to help that person elevate or move up. Your spiritual journey, though, through life is your golden ticket to your peace and tranquility and your happiness and your freedom. Your own life is in your hands. This you need to know. Your own life is in your hands. And how you play that card deck is totally up to you. And I said earlier that if you're not willing to invest that 1 hour now to take care of yourself, you will or probably have to invest 3 hours on another date to secure your lifestyle, just to live or to function or to get by. Your life is in your hands. You are the boss of it. You control it. How you deal or play that card is entirely up to you, and you mustn't be willing to take another person's advice as to how to live. If you are ill, yes, you will have to seek the help of the physician, or if you need a plumber and a carpenter and a teacher, by all means, yes. But when it comes down to it all, your life is in your hands, and how you play it is your golden ticket to the peace and the tranquility and the happiness and freedom that you will or need to have. Please remember, your life is in your hands, and it's always, how do you want to handle that? How do you want to play that role? We talk about spirituality. We talk about getting you in a state of mind that's going to put you in the best place to live your best self. Wake up is what we say a lot. Please be mindful, spirituality is not a religion. And I've had that very same question. It is not a religion. It is the existence of everything that there is. It's a part of all that there is. All the things that you hope to accomplish in life is within you. The abilities to accomplish that is within you. Be mindful of trying to find it. Wake up, raise yourself to the higher level, to a higher level of consciousness, and reap the benefits of having that golden ticket to live very happy and prosperous. And remember that where you stand today, you led yourself there with the mind, and be very careful as to what you put in the mind. Our theme is about sticks and stones will break your bones. Words can never hurt And I follow all that by saying that's a load of crap. The words can hurt as well as they could propel you to greatness. Be mindful of that. Have we got...
We have a couple of emails. Folks, you got a few minutes left if you'd like to write in. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Lily wrote in, thanks for the insight today. I'm taking notes. Okay. Thank you, Lily. We like to teach. Okay. Lance wrote in. He says, Barrington, I know you can't take it with you, but when I die, I want my golf clubs in my coffin. Okay. That's must be a golfer, Lance. Thank you very much. Paul said, if we are our own God, which I do believe a lot that you tell us, who made the planet? And that's from Paul. And lastly here, it looks like Sean wrote in and said, why do we call ourselves God if we are just us? Why don't we just call ourselves a man, a woman, a human? Why do we call ourselves God? Isn't that putting a kingly title on ourselves? And that's from Sean. And back to you.
That's interesting, Sean King. And of course, we've heard a lot of that in recent weeks or days. Why do we title it? Because we're famous that way. We need to have a resolution. We need to have a title. How did the name King come about? I think it's the above everything, the top. And we need to have, some of us, people need to have an explanation for the questions or the answers that we don't have. So we call it God or good or Jehovah or Allah or Lord Krishna or whatever, Messiah, something greater than ourselves. And because we need this resolution, who named it? I don't know. I wasn't there. Is it good or God, or how you pronounce it? And God is anything that you want it to be, everything that it is. So where did the name come from, Sean? I'm not sure. Who named it? Why did we have to name it? I think that because we tend to think when we fall short in our explanation or the things we don't understand or the miracles that we talk about, we need as human beings a conclusion to it. So we give it a title and say there's somebody way greater than us. And, you know, a lot of other people who don't believe there's anybody way greater, bigger, taller, more, you know, godly than we are, we can go to him to answer the questions or leave it to him. We question it all the time. I question it all the time. This is, so why is this God only answering some people's prayers? Some are on suffering and some are not. If this was the case and he's all fair and just and equal to all, why isn't all everybody that's on this planet equal? You can say easily because we don't believe in him. Well, when the rain falls, it falls on the just as well as the unjust. If the rain is going to fall, shouldn't the God teachings, imaging, everything be falling on everybody? Like the rain doesn't pick the prickly bush not to fall on them, or the roses just to fall on them, or the cactus. The rain falls, and it falls on the just as well as the unjust. And we're not answering the question as to, is there a God? We know there is a God because it's you. It's all of us. We're answering the question as to who named it and why is it? Why do we need this leadership? I think it's just human qualities. And I think we generally need to have somebody greater than us to explain why we can't explain the things that we always say is unexplainable. Well, if you were to get into your meditative state and you were to get into a spiritual world life, you'll understand a lot of things that you want an explanation to is not relevant. It's redundant at some point. So God is a good name. I like it. We could have called it stove or a door or, you know, doorknob. No, that would be offensive, I guess. But the point being is we need a title. We had to say, we can't say the thing. You know, Steven Spielberg said that, I think. So we have to give it a name. And I think that's probably why that came up. What's the significance of that name? I have no idea. It's, what is the significance of Barrington? I have no idea of that either. Who made our planet? That's interesting. And why do we think, you know, it's interesting if this, I think you're going back into biblical time of talking about this land that piece of property that was seen as barren and dry, and the God would have said, let there be light and open the skies and let there be rest on the seventh day and let there be the garden and water and all these things, and made rules for us to live on the land. Well, it sounds like the planet was already there. He was just doing some decoration kind of thing. You know what I mean? He didn't create the planet. I don't know who created the planet. If you're asking me my hypothesis, I would have said the planet was always there. It's always been. A lot of the scientists talk about the Big Bang and how this happened. The Big Bang could have started the life on Earth, maybe the mixtures of everything that happened in that period. However, it's forever going on. If you think of what's at the end of our galaxy, it'd be some space. And what's the end of that one is some space. And the end of that one is some space. So it seems like it's forever going on. Why not assume it was always there? Life changes. Everything changes. How did it get created? I don't know. But the planet sounds like it was made. And I know none of the books that I've read, any of the biblical books that I've read over the last 40 years or so, or 38 years or so, ever talked about anybody making the planet. So to answer the question, who made the planet? I have no clue. I think it was always there. It sounds like the description that was given in the biblical stuff that I've read, the planet was already there, and some entity, some source, decorated it by separating land and heaven and light, and they're already there. So I don't know who made the planet. Lance, that's interesting. You can't take it with you. You want your golf clubs to go with you. It sounds like you're a golfer and you love your golf clubs, and that's awesome. I think you should. Where would you get a caddy from, or which green would you be playing on? And will you have a physical body to carry those heavy clubs? And I know you're making a joke, and I do get it. I say to my partner, many times, when I go, I want you to write me a check, because I'm taking my money with me, all of it. Write me a check and stick it in the casket. And I'm thinking of not using the casket route, but make me a check anyways, and I'll go cash it on the other side. And of course, happily, she would agree. I don't think we could take it with us, and I know you're making a joke. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Lily, taking notes and teaching. Listen, all that we talk about every day in what we do, it exists here in the planet. The wisdom, the knowledge, all the information, all the questions that you may have, everything, nothing is new. It's been there. Your great, 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 great grandmother would have had the same information available to her as it was to your great grandmother, to your grandmother, to you, and now maybe to your children as you move forward. It's always been what we, at some point, we were more connected, more in tune with a spiritual existence. We got along great. Then along came division, along came separation, along came classism. Oh, religion, never mind. Just call it the one name. And then we become who we are today. But the information, it sounds like you're taking notes. You don't need to. This information is always available to every single listener out there, and even the ones who are not listening. Remember, if you practice meditation, it exposes you to all that there is. What I've said in the past, and I've said it many times, I haven't said it recently, so I'm going to say it now. When you're meditating, it is like removing the lid off the jar, you being the content of the jar, maybe some stale air, not being rude or disrespectful to anybody. But when you remove that lid, now you expose yourself to all that there is. So now you're interconnected from the body, without the body, into all of the spiritual realm, the spiritual world. So separating yourself, remove that lid. And that's what meditation does. It makes you connect to all that there is, and you have to go through it, learn how to taper it off, shut her down, and connect to it. And it will teach you how to live the best possible human life possible. There are many different methods of meditation. You lay down, you sit up, you could do it while you drive. Meditation is an awesome tool. And what I say a lot is to pause between the tasks that you have to do every day. Take a pause. Once you finish the dishes, you take that 30, if you do dishes, take that 30-second pause before you start mopping the floors or writing that essay or watching that movie. Take a pause and reflect on who you are. Take a pause and reflect on your surrounding. Take a pause of doing a body check from head to toe. Feel your feet on the floor. Listen to the noise as far as you possibly can. Listen to, just take a pause and allow the task at hand to finish. Then you can begin the new one. The same concept will fall true as if the thought that you had was the tasks that you were doing. When that's gone, you relax a little bit and do the next one. The pause between is reflective to learning how to connect yourself to all that there is, back to the wave, back to the great source. Take a pause. Practice your meditation, and I've talked about it quite a few times. You want to give it 3 minutes in the morning to begin, and if you're pro at it, good for you. Do it for hours. You will love it. You're in heaven. You're in bliss all the time. But if you're just starting out, give yourself a few minutes in the morning. Early in the morning, don't wake up for it. When you get up, before you put your feet on the ground and you begin your journey, allow yourself to reflect on not having a thought, just for those minutes. And when you go to bed at night, you could do it laying down, you could do it sitting up, you could be comfortable, but you create a space, and I call that my altar or my prayer station or my meditation corner, and you get there and the body and everything about you is remembering what you're supposed to be doing when you're here. Importantly, take a pause to get into where you want to go. So you don't need to take notes, Lily. I'm glad that you do. The website has every single show. Today's show is talking about sticks and stones. And of course, I went at it a bit with reverse psychology, because the good part about it is, the good effect of it is the fact that you will be delivering good words that will produce a good person, good quality, positive imaging, as opposed to the negative aspect of it. So the words will have an effect. I don't know if the words "never hurt" should be a part of this, but it already exists, so we're not going to change it. The words will definitely have an impact on your life as well as your action. Be mindful. Spend some time with number one. You need to spend time with number one. You need to slow down. You need to relax. You need to not carry your golf clubs, trying to carry your golf clubs over to the next lifestyle. You need to live today. And remember that all the things that you're hoping to accumulate in this existence will not benefit you in the least bit in the next one, simply because there's no way to carry your golf clubs to the next line, to the next gig, or my check that I've been threatening to cash when I get to the other side. And of course, the partners are always happy with that. So, having said all that, be kind to everybody. Be kind to yourself. Treat yourself as if you are the king, because you are. Treat you are the queen. Treat yourself as if you are the most important entity that lives on this planet, simply because you are. Do not allow the negativities from anybody else to derail you or your dreams. And whatever you do, do not try to hover through life, because there's no such thing. You're either elevating yourself or you're falling really fast. So you have to figure out how to keep that hamster running on his wheel. This is you. You have to figure out how to keep growing, extend your mind, learn a new language, learn a new dance, learn a new piece of artwork, study art, learn how to draw, do all these things. But you want to keep the challenge going, and do not allow yourself to fall lull to nothingness, because you will never hover. You will be floating or sinking. There's no hovering for human beings. Take good care of yourself. We have a minute left, and I want to say to everybody, thank you very much for being a part of the show today. We will repeat this show another night Thursdays at 10, between 10 and 11 o'clock. If you're up and you could catch it, check it out and have a good week until we meet again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Barrington Show with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.